Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Rosie Hamilton. I use the pronouns she and her, and I am your lay leader. We're glad that you are with us today. Whoever and wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know that you are welcome here. Regardless of your age or abilities, the color of your skin or where you were born, regardless of whom you love, how you identify your gender if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, we're glad that you are here with us this morning. We do that to wake people up in case anyone was sleeping. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and to join us for our in-person or virtual coffee hour at 11:30. Well, we will visit with each other, and we may talk about the service today. If this is your first time with us, and you don't have an order of service, but would like to know more about who we are, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congregational administrator, Jen. Please fill out the newcomer's form, which you will find in the back of your seat, or the seat in front of you. And let us know who you are, and we can answer questions that you might have. Remember to put your phone on airplane mode or turn it off, please. Before we move into the regular part of the service, let's take a couple of minutes to greet your neighbors, and especially the people whom you do not know. So, greet. And now I will introduce Molly Devine, who will introduce today's service.
Good morning.
My name is Molly Devine, and I am going to be conducting bits and pieces of this service this morning. The title is Free to Be You and Me, and I'm particularly proud that women, especially here in Oregon, are still allowed to make decisions that pertain to us, that we are free to do that. And that does seem like something to be celebrated, so thank you for joining us. The group itself this morning, the service, is being conducted by members of and friends of the Women and Femmes groups. We have two now. One meets the second and fourth Wednesday mornings from 10 to 12. And the second one, it meets first and third Sunday evenings, 6:30 to 8:30. They are on a summer hiatus, but will be resuming in September. We also have a women's retreat coming up in September 15th to the 17th. So there's another opportunity to connect if you are interested. We strongly encourage you to come. And with that, we will have our chalice reading. A Flame to Light Our Paths by Deborah Burrell. Fire consumes and casts a bright light. May our chalice flame consume our regrets for the past, our fears about the future, and our worries about today. May it light for us a path of joy and peace.
Along, take my hand, sing a song. Began planning this worship service and said she was thinking of using Free to Be, You and Me as the topic, I immediately pictured that bright pink album cover and heard the theme song in my head. We have two daughters who were born in the mid-1970s, and as a parent, I wanted that album, book, and TV special to be part of their childhood, and it was. But what Molly and I found is that there are generations of adults that have never heard of this song, or the book, or the special. So I thought it would be interesting to give a little brief history of Free to Be. I am using excerpts from a New York Times article by Pamela Paul and an NPR broadcast of Morning Edition by Dina Prechip. And both of these were from December of 2022 when the album had its 50th anniversary last year. If you grew up in any remotely liberal enclave in America in the 1970s or 1980s, you grew up believing a few things. You believed that you lived in a land where children were free, where it didn't matter whether you were a boy or a girl, because neither could limit your choices, not when you were a kid, not when you grew up. You believed it was perfectly fine for William to want a doll, and if you were a girl, you might be perfectly happy for him to have yours. You believed these things because of Free to Be, You and Me, a landmark album that was released in 1972. It took the idealism and values of the civil rights and the women's rights movements and packaged them into a treasury of songs, poems, and stories that were at once earnest, silly, and wholeheartedly sappy. It was the kind of thing a kid felt both devoted to and slightly embarrassed by. The soundtrack got stuck in your head. The book fell apart at the seams. In other words, for a certain generation, Free to Be was childhood. Actor Marlo Thomas got the idea while reading a bedtime story to her 5-year-old niece. I said to my sister, "These books are so old-fashioned. The prince is going to come along and kiss her and the whole world's going to be okay." I mean, it took us years to get over that. And that's when I decided I wanted to create a project for children that said that they were free to be anything that they wanted to be. Thomas grew up in a show business family and was fresh off a successful run in the TV sitcom That Girl. She used her connections to realize this vision. She gathered celebrities like playwright Herb Gardner, actor Mel Brooks, poet Shel Silverstein, Academy Award-winning playwright Patti Chayefsky, and Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Ed Klavan. In late-night sessions at Thomas's apartment, They talked about what kinds of songs, poems, and stories they wanted to tell, and what kind of world they wanted to live in. I asked them, if you could have anything said to you in childhood, what would you have wanted it to be? Marlo Thomas remembers. And Herb Gardner said, I would have liked to have been told that it was all right for a boy to cry. And I said, I would have liked to have been told that at the end of every fairy tale, the girl, the princess, doesn't have to marry the prince, and that she doesn't have to be blonde all the time. In 1972, these messages were revolutionary. No matter how liberal your parents were, the larger culture still typically assigned rigid roles for boys and girls, the latter still very much considered the fragile sex. Married women couldn't even get their own credit cards. And when the free-to-be television special came out a few years later, Thomas had to fight the networks to show a scene of her and the black singer and actor Harry Belafonte just pushing baby strollers together. Letty Cotton Pogrebin also worked on Free to Be, and she says, for so long people had not questioned gender roles. They were just the norm. And suddenly, all around us were consciousness-raising groups and marches and caucuses at workplaces. Cotton Pogrebin was one of the founding editors of Ms. Magazine, which began earlier that very same year. She worked in the New York City's commission to eradicate sexism in the public schools and wrote columns for Ms. about stories and songs for free children, trying to find the best available offering for kids. She worked with Thomas to bring that lens to the album, which she thinks was achieved. She felt it really reaches into the soul of a child and it says, I see who you are, and we're going to support the best you that you can become. And you know, she says, kids have the purest sense of justice of anybody. They just say, it's not fair that I can't do this. Why can't I do this? This was an era of tremendous cultural ferment in children's culture, says Leslie Paris, a professor who researches American childhood in the 60s and 70s. Both children's television and literature began to mention divorce and to make an effort to showcase racial and class diversity, as well as the diversity of possibilities for girls beyond traditional gender roles. And Free to Be did that. Football star Rosie Grier, with his deep voice and defensive lineman bulk, told kids, it's all right to cry. Crying gets the mad out of you. It's all right to cry. It might make you feel better. And the spoken word fairy tale Atalanta ended with Marlo Thomas and Alan Alda telling not of a marriage, but of a couple finding personal fulfillment. The songs, poems, and stories on the album showed kids that parents are just people, that boys and girls could be friends, that people could be anything they wanted to, that everyone was allowed to cry. And they did it with an irresistible joy and rhythm. The melodies and poems are catchy and delivered by top talent. The title song was sung by the New Seekers, famous for I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. Diana Ross told kids they didn't have to change. Carol Channing pulled back the lens on advertising, and Alan Alda let parents know they could give their boys a doll. The host of Celebrity Talent offered something for parents, too, role models, saying that pushing back on gender norms and crying and being yourself was okay. It got the album into schools, libraries, and homes across the country. Musician Kimya Dawson grew up with Free to Be, and she says, me and my best friend Pierre used to sit around, and we had the book, and we had the record, and we just loved it. For a tomboy growing up in the 70s, this provided affirmation. Kids today who feel alone in their family or their town can find community with just a TikTok search. But 50 years ago, this album was a lifeline. Marlo Thomas says she still hears that. So many people stop me on the street, says Thomas. Gay men who say, when that song came out, you saved my life. Or someone else says, when I heard William Wants a Doll, I thought, I'm going to be okay. When the album came out, its hope for a better world was palpable. And some, like Ms. Magazine founder Letty Cotton Pogrebin, are dismayed about what still hasn't changed or has even backslid. She sighs, I wish that someday it would be looked at as some weird antique representing another era. Since 1972, there have been huge changes when it comes to gender and family in this country. Some of the album is dated, but so much of it still resonates, both because of what hasn't changed and because of what will always be a question for people growing up, even in the most free societies. Every generation needs songs, stories, poems, and role models with which they can identify and that will offer support in the ongoing quest to be free to live their best lives.
All right, here we go. So, yes, in the classrooms, that message is still continuing to be delivered to our children. As you know, I'm a kindergarten teacher, and oftentimes I read this story to my students at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. And I have a friend, Kai, who's going to help me to help turn the pages so I can use my hand for the microphone. But I have some children here. I'd love to welcome you to come up front to have a enjoy the story with us. Come on in. And parents can come up front. Hey, Hazel, come on, join us. Okay. All right, here we go. Why don't you come and sit down with me over here, Kate? And anyone else would like to sit? Hazel, would you like to sit and enjoy the story here, too, or are you going to watch it from the seat? Okay, here we go. And be you. You were born to be so many things. My wish for you, no matter where your journey leads, is for you to always be you. Be ready to take that next step toward being an amazing human being. Be curious. Turn every stone, ask every why, and keep digging deeply. Discover your own answers. Be adventurous. Live a big life. When you are ready, step outside your own comfort zone. Bravely explore new paths and see where they lead you. Be connected. Find kindred spirits. Be with those who make you feel like the real you. And this is kind of why I like to come here. So thank you. Be persistent. Keep going. Never stop. Keep going. Never stop. Keep going. Never stop. Be different. Be silly, be quirky, be odd, be unique, be weird, be colorful. Be okay with being different. Be just the way you are. Be kind. Be understanding. Help those around you to be themselves. Listen. Then listen some more. Learn more about who they are. Be brave. Try new things. Take a deep breath. And plunge forward into new experiences. It gets easier every time you try. Be your own thinker. Think for yourself and set your own unique course. It isn't always easy, but you'll be heading into the direction of you. Be okay being alone. Take time to be on your own. Hear your own thoughts, your inner voice. Listen to your heart. Be patient. Being more you takes time. Take a deep breath. Relax. Let your future unfold at its own pace. It will be worth the wait. Be okay reaching out for help. When you need a helping hand, a compassionate ear, an encouraging word, reach out. As you voyage out into the world, remember, no matter what, you will always be loved. A final message. You are ready. So go ahead. Be you. Be very, everyone,
very
you.
Very,
very you. Thank you. And if we could, please stand and form an arch to sing our children off to R.E.
Thank you. That was a lovely story. This is the time when we consider what WOOF means to each of us. Perhaps you are new and haven't yet bonded, but would like to support our congregation. Or maybe you've been here a long time, enough to realize how important what we do and what we support and want to help our efforts. Or maybe you're an old timer and appreciate what others have done to create such a welcoming community and thus support our work. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts that you have to offer our WOOF community, whether it's financial support or the special gift of your time or talent. Know that we are grateful for your offering. Our greeters will pass the baskets at this time. Information regarding donating will be on the screen. Thank you for your gifts, and thank you, Betsy. There is so much happiness in this world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within all around us and within us. Together here we create a circle of celebration, deep enough to hold all the joys in our lives. There's so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all the sorrow in our lives. We'll now have a moment of silent reflection. Then please come forward if you feel moved to do so, and place a stone in the bowl of water. The water is the community of compassion that bears all the sorrows. The water is the community of celebration that shares all the joys. If you do come up front, please come down this way and go up that way back to your seats.
Good morning. I'm Tanya, and I'm going to read you a poem by Dorianne Laux entitled, I Dare You. It's autumn, and we're getting rid of books, getting ready to retire, to move someplace smaller, more manageable. We're living in reverse, age-proofing the new house, nothing on the floors to trip over. No hindrances to the slowed mechanisms of our bodies. A small table for two. Our world is shrinking, our closets mostly empty. Gone the tight skirts and dancing shoes, the bells and whistles. Now when someone comes to visit and admires our complete works of Shakespeare, the hawk feather in the open dictionary, the iron angel on a shelf, we say, take them. This is the most important time of all. The age of divestment. Knowing that what we leave behind is like the fragrance of blossoming trees that grows stronger after you've passed them. Breathing them in for a moment before breathing them out. An ordinary Tuesday when one of you says, I dare you, and the other one just laughs.
Now is the time for meditation, reflection, or prayer, as is your desire. So we'll have a moment or two of silence. And now we will have another reading.
Oh, good morning. I am Michelle Paquette, and I use she and her pronouns. It turns out that in my seven decades of living a long and twisty path, I've successfully achieved being a weird old lady, and along the way I've picked up stories, so many stories. A little higher, all right? A little louder, is that better? Woo! Okay, so we can cut the feedback a little bit. Isn't it fun? It's a learning experience for all of us. I wanted to tell you a story from my youth, a tale of some sacrifice and support. Now, to understand this tale, I do need to disclose a few things about myself. I was born in 1953. I reached my teenage years in the late 1960s in the San Francisco Bay Area. That was a fun time. Now, when I was born, the doctors told my folks they had a healthy baby boy. He was wrong, of course, but, you know, the mistake was understandable. Still, that little technical oversight makes me what's called these days a transgender person, with a gender identity that doesn't match what mom and dad were told. Oops. In my case, as in many others, when I was born, the little bits back here in the brain that mediate the perception of my body didn't actually match the sex I was assigned for this body. That is, fancy words, my body did not fit my gender identity. This gender incongruity occurs very roughly as often as natural redheads do, so it's a normal, if infrequent, expression of biological diversity. It just happens. When I reached my teens, the changes that started to happen in my body were seen as incorrect by my little perceptual network in my head, and that triggered a strong and persistent sense that something was wrong. Oh. The medical folks now call this one gender dysphoria. More fancy words. Now, normally, if something was wrong or really bothering me, I would have talked to my mom or our parish priest for guidance. I was in a Roman Catholic church at the time. But observation and experience had told me this would be a really bad idea. I had to sacrifice any expression of my authentic self and hide behind sort of a false front to avoid conflicts at home. Instead, I experimented. I found that growing my hair out a little bit helped. If I could dress in a more feminine style, that helped a bit. I was discovering that shifting my gender presentation over could be a coping mechanism. But it really wasn't enough because I couldn't talk to anyone. But I did read the paper, though. Remember newspapers? Wow. Eventually, I found out that something radical was happening across the bay in San Francisco, with their organizations and individuals exploring components of human sexuality. And I knew that, for an extra dime, that bus would take me over to the city. So, I put on my flared jeans and my platform shoes. Oh, yay, 60s! And I put together a rather boho top and tucked that in my knapsack. And when I got to the Transbay Terminal in San Francisco, I ducked into a restroom, changed my shirt for the top, brushed my hair out, and took off into the city, another little 14-year-old hippie chick in 1967. Woo! I would repeat this trip many times in the next few years. I found my way into, of all places, the Tenderloin. And, well, there I discovered others like me. It turned out I was not alone in the world. There were actually groups that would gather at Glide Memorial Church and over on Van Ness Avenue at the Center for Special Problems. There were some older women there who kind of gave me the Dutch auntie treatment, showing me where it was safe to go, where I could rest or eat, and how to avoid being arrested. Oh, San Francisco. The other teens were amazing, and I made friends, actual real friends. Some were living on their own or in little group homes. There were half a dozen living in a room over at the El Rosa Hotel. We talked, sharing and caring for each other. We listened to one another. We helped protect one another. There were activist groups like Vanguard. They originally were meeting over at Glide Memorial, pushing for liberation actions, group homes, and other actions viewed as kind of radical by others. We'd often meet in coffee shops. You could take a cup of coffee and stretch it all night while you're chatting there. So we talked of our dreams, and we shared hints of what to tell those counselors over at the clinic, and kind of wove fantasies of liberation. As the group dynamic shifted, we actually shifted our preferred hangout over to the Golden Gate Park panhandle and a growing community of nonconformists that we found over in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. And over there, nobody seemed to care about our nature. We could fold and stuff copies of a local paper in exchange for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. or a place to crash. There was amazing music everywhere. And best of all, I got to be myself. I got to be myself with others like me. And those were the best days of my youth. That gave me the strength to get through all the days I had to stay hidden so my existence wouldn't upset everyone around me at home and at school. Oh, there were consequences for my actions once they were discovered. That is a tale for another day, though, please. Now, I don't have to hide anymore. The days of sacrificing my own existence to avoid upsets are behind me now. I found a community where we can support and spiritually refuel one another. Life is good. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to read you an Amanda Gorman poem about women. It's called We Rise. So she's such a clever poet, and her rhythms cause you to just keep on going a little bit faster, so I'm going to try to slow down a bit. Today, everyone's eyes are on us as we rise. Today is the day women are paving the way, speaking our truth to power. In this hour, it is our duty to find the brave beauty in rooting for other women, so they too know we are not victims. We are victors, the greatest predictors of progress. We press for change, a new dawn drawn into the open by women whose silence is broken. We push on and act on our responsibility to bring visibility to the most vulnerable, to bring freedom to those who didn't have a choice, to bring volume to those who are using their voice. We clear a woman's way. We don't fear the day. She steps into the light because we are with her every step of the fight. There's a lot at stake, but making a difference always takes great courage. So we encourage women who dare to stare fear square in its face. Women who've always shown that when one woman stands up, she is never alone. We know that when she steps up to right a wrong, she will fight to bring others along to the network, into the conversation, working together to change communities and nations for generations. Our world, made all the stronger the longer women are able to sit at the table. It is her strength, her story, and her spirit which inspires other vital voices to speak up when they hear it. So let it be said that light will be shed when our world is led by leaders ahead of the headlines, the voices who are first on the front line, these women who stand up, knowing the wind, not by where it is, but where it is blowing, leading worlds not by how society is, but where change is going. We all leap forward when one woman tries, when she defies with her rallying cries. Here lies, but does not rest, the best of tested women who call us all to rise, speaking the truth in this finest hour, that to their own power every single woman is entitled. But it's how they empower others that makes women's voices so vital.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm Kim Transier, and let me check the microphones. This song is called Landslide. You know it as a Fleetwood Mac song. It's written by Stevie Nicks. I've been singing it to myself all summer because I'm at the stage of life where I'm about to be launching a growing up kid. So for those of you who are also doing that or have memories of that, this is for all of us. It's not what Stevie Nicks had in mind. She was way too young to be doing that. Took my love, took it down, climbed a mountain, turned around, and I saw my reflection in a snow-covered hill, till a landslide brought me down. Mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child in my heart rise above? Can I sail on a changing ocean tide? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my life around you. But time makes you bolder, children get older, and I'm getting older too. I'm getting older too. Do 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 do. Took my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and turned around, and I saw my reflection in a snow-covered hill, till a landslide brought me down. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my life around you. But time makes you bolder, children get older, I'm getting older too. I'm getting older too.
Howdy, Molly here again. I'm going to share a brief story about a choice that I made because I could, and I did. There's a lot of names in the story. You don't need to pay attention to all the names because there's no test at the end. Okay, how I became divine. In 1949, I was born Molly Louise Lemon. I was the first child born to a very young couple in Denver, Colorado. I took a wee bit of ribbing with the last name Lemon, but it wasn't bad. At the tender and way too young age of 18, I married the cute guy who lived four houses away. It was my way of running away from home as soon as I had graduated from high school, which was considered acceptable in those days. Looking back, I can't really imagine how anyone thought we would be mature enough to pledge to spend the rest of our lives together. Anyway, as was traditional, I took my husband's last name and became Mrs. Christopher Ogden. That's very important. It was always the male name, Mrs. Christopher Ogden. The plan I was to work to put my husband through college. After all, I had already earned my MRS, and now it would be his turn to earn a degree. I had been told that the only time when I saw a high school counselor that I wasn't college material, that I should get married, raise a family, maybe take a short occupational course that I could work at until my husband graduated, and I might need in the future in case anything happened to my husband. Sounded okay to me. Alas, within weeks of our marriage, I realized that I really hadn't thought it through. My sweet, young, goofy husband quickly became distressed when I didn't shop, cook, and especially clean and do his laundry, which is what his mother had always done, and he suddenly expected me to do. He really expected me to become Mrs. Ogden. It was shocking that neither one of us had realized what adulting actually entailed. It was a slippery slope from there. Well, I filed for divorce, which was final on the day of my 15th wedding anniversary. And as a coincidence, I had internalized the song Landslide by Fleetwood Mac as my song that was the theme for my divorce. At that time, I kept the name Ogden as I wanted to share the name of my two children born to us during that marriage, although technically I was no longer Mrs. Christopher Ogden, just Molly Ogden. Shortly thereafter, I married a man named Jerry Frank, and I took the legal name of Molly Ogden Frank so that I could share the names of all the people I loved in my life at the time and my children as well as my husband. So now I'm up to my third name, in case you're trying to keep count. However, it got complicated. First, a hyphenated name is just confusing. I literally couldn't buy an airline ticket with a hyphenated name at that time. And I was never in the right line when trying to sign in at an event. But wait. My current husband's ex-wife, who lived in the same neighborhood, had kept her married name, and she was Mrs. Jerry Frank. My ex-husband, Chris Ogden, also lived in the same neighborhood, and he married again, and his new wife took his name and became Mrs. Christopher Ogden. Really, it was very confusing. And it made for some very interesting misdirected phone calls. I checked out the legalities and found that I was free to literally pick any name I wanted and have it changed for once and all. I began to think about what name I might really want for myself. I was only in my 30s, and I was already on my third name, and each change had been disruptive and time-consuming to change. Driver's license, social security, bank information. I didn't want to go back to my maiden name, Lemon. I'd come so far, and it just didn't feel like it fit anymore. So I thought, and I thought, and one night I realized I could become divine. So on my birthday in 1986, during my lunch break at work, I went down to the Denver County Courthouse to get the paperwork to legally change my name. It was very quiet, but there was a window open at the clerk's office, and I asked for the paperwork to have my name changed. This was before the internet, so I couldn't just pull it up online. And as the clerk handed me the paperwork, she said there was actually a judge available right now if I wanted to take care of it while I was there. Okay, then. No turning back or procrastinating with a decision. I marched down that almost empty hallway in that massive old stone courthouse, and I opened that huge door to room 205. It was empty and quiet. I walked up to one of the rows close to the front, but not the front row. I sat down, and within a couple of minutes, a door at the front of the courtroom opened, and an older white man dressed in a robe entered carrying a file folder. As I watched my share of TV, I, the only other person in the room, stood up. He looked out. He nodded at me. We both sat down. He took a short look at the open file and said, "I have before me a petition for a name change," and he looked directly at me. I nodded at him. He then made a short statement that included a warning. A name couldn't be changed to defraud anyone or in any attempt to evade the law in any way. He then said, "And why are you petitioning the court for this name change?" I told him I understood the legal requirements, and I wasn't trying to do anything illegal. I had decided I wanted a name that was all my own, and that I would never have to change again, and that I could grow into as I aged. He, keeping a straight face, nodded back at me, said, "Good luck with that," and banged his gavel. I left the courtroom, returned to the clerk to pay the fee the court cost and to have the legal announcement printed in the local paper. So that was how I became Divine, my fourth and final last name, and one I'm still growing into.
Whether I'm I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me. This dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I heed the call. I won't settle down, won't settle for less, as long as there's a chance that I can have it all. I'll go it alone, that's how it must be. Can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I've gotta be me. I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me.
Good morning. I'm Nancy, and I'm going to read a poem to you by Mary Oliver, The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around her with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last? And too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Thank you for bearing with us today. We're running a wee bit long, but there was so much wonderful material we just needed to fit it all in. So as we extinguish our chalice, I have a few words, Kindle New Sparks by Deborah Burrell. We have basked in the warmth and beauty of this flame and this community,
As the chalice flame is extinguished, let us carry its glow within. Let us kindle new sparks within these walls and beyond.
As we leave this morning, leave this service, let us remember that we are each special in our own way and an important part of life itself. There will be one more video, which is the children's choir, and that will end our service.
You can be amazing, you can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love.
Or you can start speaking up.
Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle on your skin.
Kept on the inside and no sunlight, so time to shadow in. What you wanna say?